Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 369. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show. I think it wasn't just, it was just 2 months ago that I talked to him, but part of this series that we're doing for the best 2016 in January, I really wanted to get back on the show, Roger Lawson. How you doing, man?
Fantastic. As always, anytime I come on here, I'm just excited. A, because I like you as a human being, but it's just fun to be on here, man.
Yeah, we get to talk to the people, and you're just coming off of like a pretty lengthy flight home. What were you doing, man?
I went to Africa, man. Just kidding, I didn't go to Africa. I was in Thailand for 3 weeks, just on vacation. I got a lot of friends over there, and I wanted to actually experience Thailand in a different way than I did when I went. It's about 2 years ago when I first left. Now,
right.
So I went and did it a bit more touristy style. I went with a friend and just did stuff I didn't do the first time, like stayed in nice places. And dude, when I first went, I was bumming it. I stayed in the most ghetto apartment ever for way too long. It was cheap, but the bed was like rocks. It wasn't literally rocks, but it felt so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I lived and traveled like an adult this time. I did some more touristy things, caught up with my friends. Great time. But, 20 hours of flying both ways, just it can wipe you out, man.
Yeah. How do you handle that stuff? Do you have any – have you like picked up any pro tips on how to deal with that?
Yes. Okay. This works if you're traveling with someone else. Pro tip. You book the flights, you book the window, and you book the aisle. And what happens when you do that is when people go to book their flight, no one actually books the middle seat
because
that sucks. So then you get that little buffer, and then you get some leg room, some arm action. You can lift that little armrest up. Mm-hmm. You get some wiggle room. That helps a lot. And also do not fly with someone that does not have that little screen on the back of the seats. Otherwise, you are screwed.
You know, Lufthansa, if you ever want to go to Germany, God, the best lineup of entertainment and beautiful screens and everything. Like, wow, they bring it.
Yeah, for real. It was so awkward. I was watching Game of Thrones on the flight, and I was like, surely they'll edit this for the nudity. Nope.
No.
So I'm sure there was a kid behind me. I was like, oh, God, I ruined this kid's life because these are breasts. I'm sorry, child. Don't watch my screen.
Yeah, I think it's and I will mention that's a good time to bring up that if you're going to listen to the Agenda Free segment, it actually is like kind of jam packed with like a lot of fitness stuff. I might actually make it free for everyone, but if you're going to listen to that, there are an F. There's maybe one F and two S's in there, so you might want to listen to that outside of where the kids are. But also, like it is 2016. By the time that you're listening to this, your kids may have access to the internet if they're over like 11. So they probably have seen and heard much worse stuff by now. Let's get into the show because this whole thing is about making 2016 like your best year. And for just a second, the next episode after this is going to be Jill Coleman, who also, does a ton of stuff when it comes to just like helping people reach their goals and to make sure that, now you continue to progress instead of regress. And, Raj, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is because you've kind of like gone through like a transition over the last couple of years. And, one of the big things that I think people need out of these four episodes that I'm doing for the month of January is like sometimes you need to hear things a second time or a third time for it to like really sit in and actually have an effect on you, or maybe for it to even register in your head that, oh, now I get it. All right. Yeah, they're right. Now this is something I need to do. So maybe like the best place to start is kind of like over the last, I guess it's been like about 2 or 3 years, you have been making transitions in your life and, with all this travel and stuff like that. What has been like the major thing that spurred that? And also, I guess if you have some people that are kind of like looking for like a direction, what advice do you have for them to help point them or for them to help point themselves to where they want to go?
Ooh, okay. All right, let me make sure I heard the question.
Yeah, you may need to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, you just threw a lot of good stuff at me. So are we talking more fitness enthusiasts, people trying to get their sexy on, people working out, or like trainers in the industry, or what are we? Because I can go off and go on a tangent that may not be helpful.
Let's do this. Let's hit on both, and we'll start with, you know, the fitness industry, because that has, I mean, that's something we can talk about forever. And I know, you know, if you aren't in the industry, we won't spend a ton of time on this, but a lot of people that I talk to who listen to the show are actually strength coaches. They're personal trainers and physical therapists and stuff like that. And my God, has the industry changed over the last couple of years, and how you need to like reach out to people through Instagram and Facebook and in Twitter and all these outlets, and how business has really changed. So let's start with that.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly it all changes, and you don't really realize it while you're in it if you're not keeping up with it. But I say 2015 was year I stepped back in a big way, not on purpose, but it was just more just life, like certain life events just took me down for a bit. And I'm grateful for that, because it gave me a chance to reflect and actually look at the industry and what I want my role in it to be, and just how much it changed. But in terms of being, I guess, successful, whatever that means, I think it's important to define that for yourself. But it's easy to make money in this industry now. I think it's easier now than it's ever been, but it's also easy not to. It's also easy to get confused and lost in the social media, like circle jerk and this and that, or to just hop, it's easy to get distracted. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. It's simultaneously easier than it's ever been to be successful, but also easier than it's ever been to screw it all up and flounder and spin your wheels. And at least the experience I have in terms of like social media and using that as a platform to help grow your business is, I guess my advice, the biggest difference I see now versus back then is there's just so many more platforms. Like back in the day, Facebook was the jam, and Twitter maybe a little bit. But now there's Instagram, and there's Snapchat, and there's probably some other stuff. There's Periscope, and there's all this. And you can get worn out trying to be everywhere at once. And I think for me, and this is just my opinion and me watching from kind of the outside in and deciding how I want to approach it, is focus on where you want to be and just be there. Don't try to be everywhere. And because if you try to spread yourself too thin and spread your message too thin, you just, it dilutes it. It would be like talking about like Marvel movies. Marvel movies are dope because they're Marvel movies. It's not like they're trying to be like, they have the TV shows, but it's not like they're trying to, but oh, here's Iron Man in this TV show. It's like, no, you get Iron Man on the big screen. That's the only time you get him, and it's going to be dope. That's the only place you can find him. And it's just interesting how everywhere you look, like there's certain people that are here and there and there and there and there. But I forgot where I was going with that tangent, other than just focusing on one place you want to like project your what you have to say, and just doubling down on that.
Yeah, and I think just to bounce off of that, one of the best piece of advice that I could give people is to have your own voice. Don't feel like you need to do it the way, you know, Roger did it or someone else does it. And don't be afraid to value your expertise, but also make sure that you have an expertise before you start trying to put a price on it. Because like one of the things, and like, I won't say exactly where it's from, but someone is like promoting something like how to make your fitness membership website in 5 minutes. I'm like, like what? Like
you're putting the cart way before the horse.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I got it right.
No, you're right. It's like, and I'm like, I don't want to say who's doing it, but I'm sure if you're in the fitness industry, you've seen this post. And like, this is terrible advice for people, because, you know, the worst thing that you could do is spend 300 hours creating content for a membership website that no one's going to go to. And that, and the other side of that is like, if you're someone that makes terrible content and you try to make a, you know, website, you're just going to be ripping people off, and you're not going to maintain your customers. Like, even for Body by Bull Online, a membership website that we've had for 5 years now, like, we've only seen like 10% growth year over year, every single year that we do it. And it is like, I'll put it up against anything. It's like the best value in terms of content on the internet. You can't just start, you know, charging crazy amounts of money, and like, you got to write for a while. You got to do like all this, all these like prerequisites before you start trying to step on stage and tell everyone they should vote for you for president.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's huge. But at the same time, I'm all for letting people do whatever they want to do. And the only reason I say that is because if that's the route they want to go and they don't have the skills to back it up, they're going to drown quick. They're not going to last. And that's great, because you shouldn't if you don't have the skills. It's like if you put me in the NBA, Kevin, I would not last. I probably wouldn't even – the first game, I'd probably die. I would probably die on the court.
Okay.
I do not belong there. There's no reason. If I somehow snuck into the NBA, I put together some videos on YouTube and someone saw it and they were like, yeah, let him in there. Nope.
You just like created a character with your face in like NBA 2K16 exactly. And someone just believed it. Oh man.
Well, let me sign this guy. He's got skills. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. That is a big part of it, because like the people that I look up to, like Eric Cressy and Tony Gentilcore and like Mike Boyle, these are people that they weren't in it to get famous. I think that's a goal for a lot of people, is just to be famous for being famous sake. They got in it to help people, and they crafted their skills over years, and they are staying at the top of their game because they have the skills to stay there. It's not a gift. It's not like people are like, you've been here for a while, let's keep you there. It's like, mm-hmm. They're constantly putting out great content, helpful products. That's why you're there. It's not luck they're there. It's skill that gets them there and keeps them there. And that's something that you just can't bypass, no matter. It seems like you can with all the fancy marketing and this and that, but even if you hack your way in somehow, you're not going to stay there for long if you don't have the skills to back it up. So, yeah, that's great advice. Is just like put in the work. You cannot get around that.
Right. You like create your content, but write and, you know, create what you know and what you do well. I think you just don't want to wander into territory where you're guessing and, you know, maybe using secondhand information. And the worst thing that you can do, and don't do this, I've seen multiple people get blackballed in the industry from stealing other people's content, kind of rewriting it and then reposting it as their own. For the love of God, if you're going to start a blog, you're going to talk about this stuff, attribute your content or whatever you have to that you're posting to the person that created it originally. Do not do that. It's
plagiarism.
Yeah. It's what your English teacher or your history teacher said in like eighth grade. You know, you can't just say like, you know, whatever. You have to at least cite your sources, use your bibliography to cite and whatever you
right.
need to do.
Yeah. Don't be that dude that's like copy paste mine. This is me. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. And actually type that out and type that whole thing out. So what about for, you know, people that are just kind of like in like a position of, I mean, we're past New Year's now, but it doesn't mean, and this is something that I talked to on another podcast that I recorded today that someone had me on, is like, you know, New Year's Eve or like New Year's Day doesn't need to be the day when you start. Like you can start wherever, but it's a really good, you know, jumping off point. Like you can use it as a trampoline to say, all right, this is the day I'm going to grab onto and we're going to start here and use that as some leverage. So for the people that are perhaps listening to this right as we get into the new year, like what are your thoughts for people that are kind of looking for a direction and trying to figure out what to do? And for lack of a better term, like try to find out like what's going to make them happy, because I know you did that kind of soul searching as well.
Yeah. All right. What do I think on that? It's such an individual journey in terms of figuring out what you want out of your short amount of time here. It's really crazy how fast time can go if you're not careful about how you spend it.
Like, I can't believe it was 2 years ago that you were in Thailand. Like, you were living out there. I feel like, oh my God, we were talking on like Skype like 6 months ago while you were there. Like,
yeah, it goes so fast. And that's, I'd say it's wild. It still blows my mind it's been that long. But I guess one of the first places I, at least where I started, is it was definitely very helpful for me, was to just get really clear about what I want, mm-hmm. in terms of just my life and like having a vision for my life, because from there you can start to build. It would be like trying to build a house without any plans. You just show up. You're like, I got some wood. I'm gonna put this thing there, and I'm gonna do this. And
how do you go about doing that? Did you like say, all right, well, I'm gonna go on like a 2-day trip. I'm gonna get in, you know, go someplace. I'm just gonna get isolated, go into a log cabin or something like that, and sit down. Or like, what was that process like for you?
I'm glad it happened the way it did. The process was more just like everything was burning around me, and I was like, I need to figure something out. It was not like a thought out, I'm going to do this and that. It was just more, I was just like, this sucks. I do not want this. So it's funny. I actually did. I booked like a trip to an Airbnb, and I went without my computer, and I just sat there for a couple of days. And this was just the start of it. Like, it's an ongoing process. Like, this was the groundwork I built there, but it's also, I'm open and I have been readjusting as I've gone along. But really the main thing is just getting quiet, like cut your phone off, get off the computer, stop reading stuff. Just stop it. Stop input. Cause there's so much input. There's all input. You'll never read every article. You never read every book. There's more content being created by the second than at any point in history, like YouTube videos, blog posts, books, ebooks, audio. It's overwhelming, and it also does not give you the opportunity to just listen to yourself. And there's so many people that are writing about like intuition and listening to your gut. One of my favorite writers right now for that is Elizabeth D'Alto, and she was also in the fitness industry. Then she busted like a 180 and went full in another direction. But she's really about like teaching women how to just like get in touch with what's going on with like their bodies and their minds. Mm-hmm. But I also think that's just great advice for just human beings, because it's so easy to not have any time by yourself with your own thoughts and figure out what you actually want. So like for me these days, I'm really protective about my, like how I spend my time, who I spend my time with. And I came to that place because I was just doing everything and I wasn't really getting anything done and I wasn't really connected to what I wanted out of life. And as we were just talking about, like, if you're just going and not purposeful about where you want to go, so much time will pass and you'll be like, what the hell happened with all this time? So as a place to start, just like, even if it's just like an hour, just cut your phone off, shut the computer off, go somewhere or not with anyone, just by yourself with your own thoughts, and just ask yourself like what you want to do with your life. And if that's too heavy of a question, just think like, what do I want to achieve in the next month or the next 30 days or something like that, just to, as a jumping off place. And then from that point, you can work backwards and go, okay, this is what I want. What are some ways that I can brainstorm to achieve that? And a great book on that is James Altucher. I think I'm saying his name right, but it's something called The Guide to Choosing Yourself. It's a great primer. He's a great writer. He's funny, and his ideas stick. But it's just a really good primer for like getting clear about what you want in your life. Because once you have that, at least a start, then you can work towards something. If you don't have a place to start from, you're just going everywhere. Like you're like a pinball, just bouncing all over the place, but not really going anywhere.
What was it called again?
A Guide to Choosing Yourself, I believe. James Altucher. I can't. Let me see. Yeah. I think that's his book. If you just Google it, you'll find it. I'm gonna mess it up, so just okay. Google. Yeah, James Altucher. Great book. Solid. It's like $10, maybe. It's probably cheaper, but it's great. And I think that honestly, that's the first place I would, even for people that are looking to accomplish physique based goals, like sit down and think about if that's what you really want for yourself, or do you want it because you feel like you should want it, or you feel like other people want it for you. Like the thing I've learned about myself the most is that if I'm doing it for others, and not, and I don't have any real investment in it myself, I'm not going to stick with it, as lame as it sounds. But if, like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people feel like they have to stick with certain goals and have to choose a certain path because it's placed on them from outside, or they feel that's what they have to do. When in reality, they don't want to do it at all. Like, a lot of people run to get in shape because they feel like that's what they have to do. But there's so many other different ways. And the great part is you don't have to do it that way if you do, truly don't want to. There's so many other paths to take. And if you just like get clear on that, if nothing else, and go, okay, this is what I do not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that make me want to punch myself in the face on a daily basis. Good. All right. Don't do those things.
Weird.
Great.
That happens to you? You want to punch yourself in the face?
Every day. I'm like, oh, this would make me want to punch myself in the face. Don't
Dental,
do
man. Dental's a expensive thing.
I don't punch
thing.
Myself in the mouth. I punch him like in the eye.
Let me mention, I mean, hopefully, depending on when you listen to this, the book is 99 cents for the Kindle. So
even better.
And it's Choose Yourself with an exclamation point. So that is the book. And I bought it for 99 cents. Worst case scenario, I could just, have more fun lighting a dollar bill on fire. But I'm sure it will be more.
Yes. And that's the thing about books. If you get one idea that you take action on,
for a buck,
the book
dude.
Pays for. Yeah, the book. I've spent way more money on way dumber things so many times. So,
dude, I can't tell you the amount of times when. Never mind. We won't get into it. So, are you a Kindle person or are you still a paper person?
Oh, I'm torn. I love Kindle for traveling, but there's nothing exactly like the book, because usually when I travel, before the Kindle, I'd have like 8 books in my book bag.
You can't do it anymore.
You can't. It kills me.
Want to travel light.
Yeah. So I always take a hard copy book wherever I go, but I also have the Kindle, which has like 90 books on it. So I get the appeal of both, but I definitely am a bigger fan of actual books than Kindle in terms of reading them. But for convenience, you can't beat Kindle at all.
Gotcha.
Ooh. Yes. Yeah, so definitely that. Like, just get clear on what you want. Spend time alone. Just stop with the input, and just really listen to what feels right. At least as a starting point, you'll always be recalibrating, because it's not like you decide one day and that's it forever. There's always going to be adjustment. Just like with a diet or training, it's not like you get a training program, you get a diet, and then that's it. You're done for life. There's always adjustments, because it's all feedback based on what actually happens once you start to implement.
Another thing I wanted to talk about is you don't really figure that thing out right away, because even for me, when I got rid of all the game stuff, it took me 3 months to get rid of all that stuff, in chunks. And even now, it was trying to get to the epiphany of, all right, the healthiest way for me to go forward and still enjoy a medium that I like to enjoy is to only make sure I have the portable systems. Because the thing that clicked was that I would sometimes be like, all right, well, I'm going to avoid travel because I want to be at home with my 65-inch TV and my big consoles, because those are fun and it would keep me from going. And, going to New York City for a couple of days and seeing the Mark Fisher guys and my friends out there, or going to California and seeing people out there for a work trip. So I think even if you you want to get into that ballpark, think of it as, think of it this way. You ever go to a pizza place and they sell those gigantic chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
Okay. So think of it as that gigantic chocolate chip cookie. You want that chocolate chip cookie, but really what you want is just that chocolate chip. You want one of them. So you start with this idea. It's all right, for me personally, I knew, my thinking about video games, all this stuff that I have was a problem. So, all right, I got the big cookie, and then I kind of dialed it down until I got to that little chocolate chip. So now I make sure, I only buy basically portable games. So I have a 3DS and a PlayStation Vita. So it doesn't matter where I am. I don't have to feel like I'm leaving stuff behind. I can always bring this stuff with me and make sure it's still not hurting what life I could be leading. Or maybe I just want one of those big ass chocolate chip cookies, Raj. Yeah.
Yo, sometimes you just want, and that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with wanting the big ass chocolate chip cookie.
So how do they make them so big?
Like, because they're the size of your face.
Why can't you just buy the? Why aren't those a regular thing that you can buy everywhere? Like Whole Foods has them, and like sometimes you go to like an Italian restaurant, like they have them up front. I don't know,
son. Before I went to Thailand, I went grocery shopping at Whole Foods to get snacks, and at the checkout counter, they had 4 cookies for 25 cents.
Oh, I was like, what? That's like free. Like,
that's like, yeah. I'm like, do you know how much money I have in my wallet right now?
How many quarters do you have in your pocket?
Son, I got a 50 cent piece. I got a dollar in here. I could buy like 25 cookies without even batting an eyelash, son. You don't want to give me that kind of power because I'll abuse it. But I think like it's a great point what you just mentioned. It's really about hacking away all the stuff. And keeping like the nugget that you really yeah. wanted all along. But
I have an even better one. Okay, so it's Jurassic Park when at the beginning they find that piece of ember with the mosquito in it with the dino DNA, and it's like surrounded by rocks. You got to like chip away at the rock until you finally have this perfect piece of amber that you can then tap into, and then you have Jurassic Park.
You know what? That is actually way better than anything I was going to say. And it's true. Like, just get rid of the stupid stuff. I didn't want to swear, but there's so many other words.
You can say stupid. It's all right.
And it goes back to what we were just talking about. There's so many ways to be distracted, and there's so many things of this and that you don't get to the essence of what you really want. And if you don't get to that, everything looks good because it's shiny and it's this and that, but it's not what you really want. And if you don't have the essentials, if you don't know truly what you're going after, you're not going to get it. It's always going to be like in this fog. You're not going to even know what it is. So that's a great point. And in terms of fitness goals, like just get really clear. And I think what helps a lot, and these are conversations I have with my clients, is to think about the goal you want and how will it actually help you grow, help make your life better, not on like a superficial level, but on a Oprah, I feel this in my soul kind of level.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff that at the end of the day, you really want, that's going to have the biggest impact, not only on your life, but also the lives of the people around you. Mm-hmm. Because you become a different person when you're really doing or embodying the kind of life you want to live. And it acts as like an inspiration to other people that see that. You know, it's not about getting abs. It's more about who you become in the process of having those abs or doing the things that lead to that outcome,
right?
Versus the outcome itself, and that's it's a heavy. I wouldn't say maybe it's not heavy, but it's
super heavy, man. It's super heavy because
it's like philosophical and a bit woo woo, but it makes so much sense when you get down to it.
Yeah. And like, you know, again, we, in the off topic stuff, we talk about like putting yourself out on the internet and it's like, are you ever worried about that? But with me, and like, I've been writing about this on thefitgas.com because like with me, like I know like what my goal is. And again, it's like, it's such a dumb thing because you see me out at it, like anything, like you look at me, you're like, Jesus Christ, that guy's in pretty good shape. And you look at my videos on my Instagram, whatever, like, dude, this guy can move some weight. But, you know, it's trying to get, for me, like a healthier mindset on how I look at things, and also, you know, building up better willpower and making sure that I don't just like, you know, this is the best expression I can give, like the, like just giving up for the day. Like, I'm just going to go, all right, well, I guess I'll just go stop at, you know, whatever and get like a pizza and, or you're at Whole Foods and like, oh man, well, I guess like I could just like continue to eat well today, but I could just get like one of those pack of cookies. And like Raj said, they're only 25 cents. So I'm just going to grab like, I'll get all 4. So that's a dollar. And like making sure that I still have some kind of willpower strength. And that's kind of like the biggest thing that I've been working on these last couple weeks, the last couple months is, you know, my strength training ability is top tier. I love lifting weights. I love training. I love doing kettlebell stuff. I love doing get-ups. I love upper body work. I like lower body work, you know, sometimes, but
not as much though. Who does? And if you do, you're sick.
Not as much. It's basically like that is my history homework where I like really like doing the, you know, think of like the upper body stuff as like my Street Fighter 2. Like I love to play Street Fighter 2 and like I'll continue to do it until it doesn't seem like it's going to benefit me anymore. Like I'm getting blisters on my thumbs. I should probably stop. So I'm going to go do something else. But, you know, again, that's the way that I would, man, how did I get here? That's the way like I would look at it is like that journey is super important because you kind of just build up strength, not in your muscles, but in like, I almost want to say it sounds like I'm not even like a super, you know, not necessarily a spiritual person, but like in your soul, like you just build up like into this better mindset of not only your strength, but also a better, like you feel better about yourself because you were able to do something that you didn't think you could do.
Exactly. And that's, dude, this is the stuff I love because strength training is such a, just a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Like when I first got into the industry, it was all about fat loss and this and muscle gain and that. But there's only so much you can write about that without, at least for me, without wanting to just not ever do that again. Mm-hmm. So for me now, it's like what's behind that? What does that lead to? And at the end of the day, like we're all going to get old unless we go HGH or testosterone replacement therapy and do Sylvester Stallone. Props.
Yeah, when I turn 60, I'm gonna be on whatever my doctor can get me to like make me live longer. Are you kidding?
Right, dude. I'm not playing sports. I'm not, dude. Put whatever you need to put me on.
No,
whatever.
I'm gonna keep lifting. Give me the friggin' whatever Will Smith had in iRobot or what was it? Right. iRobot or something like that. Like where he was part robot, like his arm or something like that.
Something. I'm part of the Will Smith fan club. I don't know why. I don't know what movie it was, but
come on.
But like I was saying, like at the end of the day, after all that's gone, after you got saggy boobs and your skin's a little floppy,
yeah,
you know, you're still the person that achieved that in the first place. So mm-hmm. even when the external is gone, what it took to have that is still inside of you. So
it's like spiritual strength. And like I said, I'm not
soul strength.
Soul strength.
Yeah.
It's our new hit CD single coming up.
R&B Soul Strength, STRENF Strength. But yeah, dude, it's true, and it's I like to say, I think it was something. I was listening to some Jay-Z song a while ago, and it just made me think of like he's a like a multimillionaire because of his work ethic and because of his ingenuity and his ability to just to get it done. But so like even if he lost all that money and he got like blackballed by the industry, he would become a millionaire again.
Yeah, he just somewhere do it all else over again.
Because to get to where he was musically and in the industry, he had to develop certain internal traits that regard like you could just put him in a desert, take all his money, he'll eventually come back and be a millionaire again some other way. And that's because he built it up. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with strength training. It's on a more like a literal level, like, hey, you are changing your body through overcoming resistance. Regardless of what happens, you can take that same mindset and those principles and do it in your everyday life with other situations, like with relationships or this or that. And I think a lot of people don't view it that way, but they're missing a big chunk of what makes strength training so awesome because you are literally like body, you are building your body through not willpower, but through effort and through consistent effort. And practicing on a daily or weekly basis over years. And then, ta-da, you're rewarded because of that. And you can apply that to any other area of life. It's the same process, just different methods.
Man, that's some stuff we just dropped on you guys.
We just dropped some stuff on guys.
You might want to, like, rewind this and go through that stuff again because, like, we mentioned on this show and like just for the last couple shows that I've done, and you can tell probably in like my voice that I'm super, super passionate about this stuff. It's like, yeah, you guys don't need to listen to this show to hear about how you should program your like strength training program. Like there's a general like guideline. Like I would just say, all right, go buy one of Dan John's books. Like he will, you know, he'll figure it out for you. Like do a hip hinge, do some knee dominant, do a carry, do a push and a pull, and you're probably going to be good to go. The stuff that we're tripping up on when it comes to helping other people out and helping ourselves is, what do we do in terms of, I don't even think it's like necessarily trying to hold ourselves up. Like, it's like almost like a hot air balloon. How do you keep pulling that lever and making sure you don't run out of the juice? It's just making sure that you can stay up in the air and continue to get to that destination without running out of
juice. Yeah. Without blowing yourself out of the sky. And on that point, I think something that has been extremely helpful for me is, again, like going down to the essentials in terms of what I need in my life in order to be the best me, and not compromising on those things. So for me right now, and it can change as I go forward, but right now it's a certain amount of alone time, like every day a week, spending time with my friends, doing jiu-jitsu, strength training, reading, writing, moving. Like those things are not, and sleep, that's been a big thing. Those things are non-negotiable for me, because if any of those things are out of whack, I just become lamer. I'm not the best me that I can be, and that sucks, man. Because I know if I can easily be like, oh, I'll just won't write today, or oh, I won't go to jiu-jitsu today, or I won't do this or that. But that stuff, it's I don't even know what to call it. But those things add to me in a way that makes me better, not only for myself, but for those people in my life, or the people that I want to serve, like my clients.
Right.
And so many people, and they just give their power away in terms of not valuing their own experiences and things that are important to them. And they're worse off because of it. And there's nothing, it's not selfish to like have boundaries and protect the things that make you or help you be a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because without those things, it's kind of like you're just a shell of yourself, and you can't really operate on a really high level if you don't have those things. And it's different from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important to identify those things and just protect them at all costs.
I'm trying to think where do we want to go with this last kind of section before we wrap things up. But, I think maybe another piece of advice that would be good is, like, just going off what you were just saying, like, don't forget like who you are as a person. This is not about being someone else. It's not like trying to be like, all right, well, I'm going to just look at what Roger did, and I'm going to completely just photocopy what he did, and now I'm going to turn into Roger Lawson and talk about Dragon Ball Z more than I probably should. I'm going to try to continue to adapt, you know, positive qualities that are going to make my life better, but at the same time, like, still be what is me. Like, I see that a lot of like people who like read a book and they just like, they turn into the book they read. I'm like, you can't just throw everything out that you've done before. That's not the way to do it. You got to take a couple of things that really mean something out of that book and adapt it to what you're already doing. Don't just try to turn into a robot of the book.
Yeah, because it's a great point, because there's no fun in that. Like, there's so many – you can copy somebody.
No, and it's transparent, dude. Like, there's so many times I'll be like, oh, my God. Like, I haven't seen you for 3 months. And it's like, oh, well, I read this book. It's like, yeah, but all you're doing is you're reciting what you read in the book. You're not a person now. You're 350 pages of recycled paper.
Yo, it's true. And it's easy, because and I've done it before too. It's like, there's something weird about having read a book or having read something, and then you haven't really applied it, but it feels like you did because you read it. And you're like, oh, of course I know this now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've done nothing with the information, I have the information, and therefore I am, I'm different now. It's like, right. Nope, you got to do something with it. And in the process of doing something with it, then you apply it in a way that makes sense for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, oh, it says do this, I'm going to do this, without any context. And then once you do it, then you're like, oh, this worked for me, this didn't. I'm going to keep what worked, throw away what didn't, and I'm going to continue the process with something else. And you just add more and more over time, and all of a sudden you look back and you're like, oh, wow, I actually took action. I did something. And I think that's just a theme for 2016, or just for life, it should be just take action wherever you're at now and adjust because you can't adjust anything based on no action because there's nothing to adjust because mm-hmm. he didn't do anything. Because it just makes such you can't. The only thing you can do to really mess up is not do anything.
Well, have you made any like big like looking back over the last like 2 years or so, or are there any things that you look back and be like, oh man, that was a huge misstep. Like I shouldn't have done that. I wish, you know, I'm sure like at the end of the day, you're like, well, okay, that was a good learning experience, but man, like if I could have just deleted that, you know, 3 months or like that, you know, experience, I would have done it.
Ooh, in terms of like training or just like life?
Both.
So many things. Yeah.
You got rid of your PlayStation 3.
Right. You know what? I did. I left it at my mom's place, and then my cousins came back and they dropped theirs off, and I had access to it. But I didn't do it. Like, it's all right. I don't play it. It's just,
yeah.
It's but ooh, I'm trying to think of something just really like this year has just been all about like less looking outwards and just more going inwards mm-hmm. because it's honestly. That I think that's the most rewarding work I've done this year, just on myself. Mm-hmm. And it's so rewarding because it always pays off. No one's ever worse for learning more about themselves and like deconstructing their habits and their motivations and things like that. No, you're never worse off because of that. No one's ever like, man, I learned more about who I am and how I respond to certain situations. This sucks. You know, it's always an opportunity for more growth. And I think that was just huge for me for sure this year. And honestly, that's what the whole 2015 was about. Like had a crazy breakup and that put me down for way longer than I like to admit on air. Mm-hmm. but I'm grateful that it happened because it allowed me to just take a step back. Mm-hmm. Not on purpose. I was just like kind of knocked on my ass. I'm like, all right, well, what do I do from here? Let's mm-hmm. take some steps. Let's learn some things. And I think that's like in terms of goals, it's interesting in the industry, like people can spend 5-10 years trying to lose 5 or 10 pounds and they get caught in this cycle of failing over and over again. And I think the downfall of that, I think the most harmful thing of that is that if you fail enough times, you just stop. You stop really believing you can actually do it. You're like, oh, this is going to be the same thing again. I'm going to do this and this is going to happen. And, blah, blah, blah. And you just start to lose trust in yourself. So there's benefits from being like at the bottom and just wondering like, how am I going to make it out of this?
Yeah.
And I think the main benefit of that is if you get knocked down enough, you just stay down and you're like, all right, how can I really learn from this and do something differently than I've done mm-hmm. so that I don't have to experience this anymore? Because I think it's, you know, in terms of failure and things like that, it's easy to kind of make it like build it up as to something that people should chase. Like, yes, fail forward and do this and do that. Mm. But they don't really talk about how much it sucks.
Yep.
And you don't, you know, and the more important the goal is that you try to achieve and you don't achieve it, it hurts. It sucks. And it's not fun while you're down there. Mm-hmm. It's a great success story when you get back up. It's like it's kind of like the Robert Downey Jr. Situation when he was down and out right before Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And he came back and I was like, yes. But, you know, it makes for a great story. But it just it hurts to be down that low. So there's value in it. But don't chase it. Don't chase like failure. It may happen as you know, go for bold things. But don't make it into something that it's not.
Well said.
That was an interesting rant. My bad.
No, it's all good. Like again, we don't have to reiterate on anything there. But and what I'm going to do is I'll actually put that agenda free segment in there for everyone. And I hope the Patreon folks are cool. Patreon folks are still the ones that are making this show possible. And thank you guys so much going into 2016 for continuing to support the show, because this show does not get made without your support. So thank you. Forever for doing the $1, $2, or $5 per episode, whatever you're doing to help me produce this show. Thank you for valuing what I've been doing these last going into 10 years. This is going to be the 10th year that this show has been going on. It's like the friggin' Price is Right. It's like Bob Barker.
Wait, is it really 10 years?
Yeah. In April, 10 years.
Dude, all right, we got to talk about that because I think that it ties in well. I think it might be a good point to go out on, depending on, I'll go however long you want, but dude, 10 years, like, just think, I'm thinking of all the podcasts out there now that I listen to, and
there's so many fitness podcasts now.
I don't know any that have been out for 10 years. Like,
well, it's because everyone just started 6 months ago.
Dude. But like my favorite ones, like the Smodcast and like the Joe Rogan Experience, I think back to like when they started, I'm like, oh, this is, they've been around for a while. But now I'm like looking at what you do, 10 years. And this goes back to my point, is like focus on the process and not the outcome that you want.
Totally.
Because if I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you started the podcast like, yes, I want to get famous and do this, see, yeah, you'd have quit 9 years ago. Because
this is actually, yeah, a good point to wrap it up, just to go back into not only fitness professionals, but people that are trying to do stuff. Like I've talked, you know, I've done like staff and services in terms of like building your web presence and like trying to make a name for yourself outside of Mike Bowles Strength and Conditioning. And I'll be like, okay, and this is like a little side thing. It's, you know, there's been some times in the history at the gym where people have, you know, you hear some things talk behind your back of like people like, you know, why is Larry be like where he's at today? It's because, Mike, I started this podcast with zero downloads on episode one.
Zero.
And now it took 370 episodes to get to where I'm at, like 20,000 to like 25,000 people download this thing every week. And like, it didn't happen overnight. Like, it was a struggle. Like, man, oh, dude, holy crap, 100 people downloaded this episode. It's like, this is awesome. And it takes a long time. It's the same thing with building your web presence. It's like the worst thing you could do, this is for the fitness professionals out there, don't ever be the person that's like, oh, man, I can't believe, you know, this person is like selling an ebook. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. It's like, oh, you know more than them, then do it. They put in the time, they put in the effort, and they put in the work to make that happen. If you think you have something better to say or a better product to produce, you
do
it. Yeah, do it or shut your mouth. Because
yeah,
all you're doing is complaining. And like, that's the one thing, is like, when I couldn't find a good fitness podcast, I didn't go on the internet and say like, man, there's no good fitness podcast out there. No, I made one. And
yeah, luckily it worked. Created out. It. Yeah. And dude, I'm sure there's people out there hating on the podcast or whatever, but here's what I want to say to them. I'm like, if that's how you truly feel, then why don't you create the podcast that you want to listen to? Because mm-hmm. this has been, you wouldn't be doing it for 10 years if no one was listening and you did not enjoy it. So obviously it's working, and the people that hate on it, or just people that hate in general, I feel like it comes from a place of, maybe, I don't know if it's jealousy,
yeah,
or
anything. It's okay. I feel comfortable saying that. It is. Yeah. It's a jealousy thing. And it's again, like with you know, I'm no longer am I not going to be proud of what I've done, because there's so, yeah. And there's been like so many times where I downplay stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's okay. Like I've created like roughly 700 hours of a fitness podcast. Like that's pretty dope. And you know, it's something that people enjoy enough to, you know, thankfully support, so I can continue to do it, because God knows, like, the time that I put into this, I would rather be playing Final Fantasy, what is it, 10 and 10-2 at some point I want to get to in my life. But instead, you know, I'm spending 4 hours on New Year's Eve recording podcasts so we can get them out there for people. So that's why I always take the time to say thank you to the Patreon supporters, because again, I would have stopped doing the show a while ago because I just barely have the time to do it anymore.
Right.
Oh, yeah, man.
Dude. 10 years, straight up a decade.
Yeah, we'll do a party or something like that. Maybe we'll go to like Burger King or something.
Get one of those crowns.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Of course, you can't go to Burger King and not get a crown, son.
Oh, we should totally. I should start thinking about that. I can't do any baller party because I have like $33 in my bank account, but maybe we could go to a
dude, ball on a budget. We'll go to Dave and Buster's, split a power card.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude. And just to reiterate, like, cause I think it's a very important message that just easily gets lost. Is definitely focus on the process, because the process never lets you down.
Totally.
And this is something I've learned intimately through jiu-jitsu, is that the more I do it, the better I get. And And if I only focused on, ooh, when am I going to get this belt? When am I going to get this stripe? It would just wear me out, because it is such a long process to become the person that has the skills to get the belt. So if I just focused on the outcome I wanted without actually enjoying the process or finding something to love about the process, I wouldn't get there. But I'm confident now in saying that I enjoy the process so much that it's only a matter of time until I get the outcome that I ideally want, but I'm not really focused on, because I'm having so much fun doing it right now. And I think if that's the way you approach your goals, it's only a matter of time and enough tweaking and putting in the hours and the work, if your goals are realistic, until you get it. And it'll be way easier to enjoy the process and stick with it long term than if you're just focusing on this carrot at the end of the road. Why are carrots at the end of the road anyway? That was a weird way of putting it. But yeah, it was something that Tucker Max said in one of his podcasts. It was something about don't focus on the reward, just focus on the doing versus the getting. And that really resonated with me.
Yeah, and if you want to just go like another route, throw everything out Roger just said and be your best John Cena.
Dude, whatever. Do it. Anything I'm saying, feel free to not listen to it. I wouldn't sometimes.
No, Roger's 100% on board. I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned
John Cena.
So we actually do need to wrap it up there, because in 5 minutes I have to talk to Joe Coleman. So
shout out to powerful Joe Coleman.
The original JC. So the best thing that I could say right now is, as this is going to be the first episode of 2016, is to again thank you to everyone that downloads this show every single week, subscribes on iTunes, submits reviews for the show on iTunes. That helps bump this show up in the ratings and make sure we get good information to people out there. Because how many times do you want to answer questions from your relatives, your friends about fitness stuff, and be like, oh my God, just go listen to this podcast. Like, they talk about it there. So if you do that, you'll have to answer fewer questions at your, you know, holiday parties and family get-togethers. And also, well, like I said, you can support the show at patreon.com/thefitcast. That's patreon.com/thefitcast. You can support the show like at just $1 per episode. It's $4 per month. And all that's really saying is that you think that this show is worth supporting. You think that this content is worthy of $1 per hour. That's basically what we're talking about. And you also get the shows early, at least a week early, sometimes two. And you get agenda-free segments for whenever I do them with guests. So you get tons of great stuff. Raj, what do you have coming up? Do you have anything that you want to, you know, mention and plug?
Nope, nothing, man. I'm just writing.
At Raj Law on Twitter.
At Raj Law on Twitter. I barely go there.
He's trying to use Instagram.
Dude, I'm going to give up on that.
Take your shirt off. Just take your shirt off and eat a donut. And you'll get, like, I'm telling you, that is the mathematical equation. Is like, I need to start doing my like overhead pressing without my shirt on. And we could do this and I would get twice the likes. I guarantee it.
It's so funny. I say I'm going to give up on it. I'll probably just treat it as the thing that I just randomly throw stuff up on, that it's going to be like my lab. I'm like, what is this? What happens if I do this weird thing? That's funny for me and maybe some other people.
It's just like a thing of like, yeah, man, I like what I'm doing right now. Let's see if other people like it. That's how I look at it. It's like, all right, well, cool. It's a good thing that, you know, people enjoy me playing through Zelda on my 3DS. That's great.
Right. Dude, yeah, tell people just RajLawFitness.com. Perfect. Facebook, look for me, Raj Law. I post some stuff on there sometimes. I'm going to be posting more. 2016 is going to be fun. I'm going to be doing a lot more writing, a lot more in-person speaking, and podcasting. So, dude, you've been just a huge inspiration in terms of podcasting. Definitely one of the influences in starting mine.
Do it, man.
So I appreciate it. And just thanks for doing what you do. Keep being dope. It's great to have you as a friend. And 2016 is going to be awesome, man.
I think, there's floods everywhere. It's like 60 degrees out in December. The world's ending. But yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
Exactly. And if we're dead, it won't matter. So whatever.
I don't know, man. I got a blow up boat. Like me and Marty can jump in the boat and chill out for a while. It's like not a big deal. Just move inland, guys. If you're going to move inland. We'll be good.
Yeah, the coasts are done.
I'm getting away from the coast. This is the next thing. Whenever I move, I'm going to be moving inland, away, you know, higher sea level. So That is going to do it for this episode. Like I mentioned, there's tons of great ways to support the show. And also, if you're going to do some shopping on Amazon, if you go to thefitcast.com/Amazon, that sends you right back to amazon.com. And if you buy something, they kick like 3-4% back to the Fitcast. So literally, you get the same prices, the same deals, everything is exactly the same, but they just give some of that profit that they would have made back to the Fitcast. So it's one extra step. I know it's a pain, like I hate doing that stuff too, but if you like, all right, I can't do the Patreon thing, but I still want to help, you know, Kevin on the show out, go to thefitcast.com/Amazon. It'll send you right back to amazon.com front page where you can do all your shopping from there. So thank you to everyone that does take the time to do that. And again, for those great Patreon folks, but everyone's going to get an extra segment right now with Roger and myself. And it's about 25 minutes long. It's a good one. So I hope you enjoy it. Again, can't thank you guys enough for listening for another year. And God, we gotta get out of here. I gotta go talk to Jill. So thank you, Roger, man. Take care and have a great New Year's.
You too, man.
So we just did an episode, the first one, let's hope it went well, the first one of the Make 2016 the Best Year of Your Life series for January with Roger Lawson.
What up?
Yeah, so this is, you know, if you've heard these before, the magic is that we haven't recorded that yet. We record this first as a little bit of a, you know, just a, how you doing? And to warm up a little bit.
You got to, just like warming up in the gym, you don't want to come into a podcast cold.
No, you don't. You don't want to do that because then, like, sometimes you might get off topic on the real show.
Which I'm great at. I'm great at off topicing anything and then on topicing nothing. So I'm glad this is how we're doing it.
Well, and I think for, you know, I talk to a lot of people that listen to the show at like seminars and through email and stuff. And I think it's so funny how much people will talk to me, not about like, oh yeah, it was so great when I had this person on and like I learned this thing. It's like, oh man, I just love it when you're talking with like Roger Lawson or when like you're talking with like George Dow. Like those, oh man, it's just when you guys are talking about not fitness stuff. That's my favorite part of the show. I'm like, all right.
Like we'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, I would do more of that if it wasn't just for like, oh man, like it's so funny. Like Mike Boyle, my boss, who like would say, oh man, I really wanted to listen to, this was like years ago, like that interview with Dan John, but I had to fast forward through like 10 minutes of you guys not talking about anything related to strength and conditioning. I'm like, that's kind of the show.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting divide with podcasts these days because there's some long form podcasts where there is no agenda and people love that. And then there's the people that are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like you're wasting my time by not getting to, you know, the hard hitting questions that need to be asked. And like, I'm totally all for that. And like, that's it. And you'll kind of like see, not, you know, to talk about you for a second, but the people that I've had on the most in like the last year or two or even three are just the people that I like talking to. And I like going into shows with no, I don't write anything down.
Yeah. It's more organic that way because usually like if you come in with a plan, it doesn't allow the conversation to flow. Like imagine if we weren't recording this now and I came over to your house and I had a list of questions for you.
Right.
And then after it was over, I was like, I just stood up and I walked out of your house. You're like, what? What just happened?
Sorry, right, I guess I'll lock the door.
I guess this is over. Right. I don't know what he just did. He closed his notebook and he left. He didn't even say bye. That was weird. I'm never having him over again.
He wrote it down in pig's blood, too.
It's weird. Where'd he get the pig's blood? So many questions, so few answers.
Stop by the local butchery on the way in, I guess.
Ah, see? The local butchery got some pig blood, see?
What is this, 1920?
1940s. Come on, Kevin, get with the program.
Listen to the radio. I can't like do that voice. It's like
it feels good to do it. It's actually, it's so funny. That
the Boston
voice.
Red Sox versus the New York Yankees.
extra, read all about it. That voice.
The Bronx Bombers.
That I have a special relationship with that voice. So since we're doing off topic,
yeah,
I'm going to go into the origin of that voice. So Dave Chappelle, he had a bit. I think it was in one of his first special, which is great if you haven't seen it. But he was just talking about getting pulled over by the cops or something and just talking in that voice, which is hilarious. And then I was hanging out with Nagar Fanouni, shout out to her, maybe 3 years ago. I don't even know how long it was ago, but there was she was getting some hate for something she did on Facebook, and someone was leaving like,
oh,
this
really? On the internet?
On the internet, yeah. Like, weird. What? The internet is a place of love. Who's hating anymore on the internet? But she was getting some feedback for something, and it was so dumb. And I just looked at her. I was like, hey, if you read it in this voice, it can't piss you off. And we just read the comments in that voice, and it was automatically not annoying anymore. It was just hilarious.
Well, it's so weird because things are getting like super charged now politically. Like things are kind of just getting more polarized than ever. And it is so weird. Like I have this like kind of strict rule of, if I'm on Facebook for more than 3 minutes, then I gone fucked up, because like if you spend more than 3 minutes, you're usually looking at stuff that isn't directly, you know, related to your friends. And also I'm going to see something that like goes against what I believe like politically. I'm like, oh my God, like I can't believe this person.
Are of all
you,
people
you seriously believe this? And like that, luckily we have the tools of the unfollow and all that stuff now. But see, that was my fault.
You let them in your box, man.
Right.
That was your fault. That was your bad. It's okay.
That was my fault. And it's like the same thing. And I actually did, I was interviewed for someone else's podcast this morning. I'm doing four podcasts today, which is kind of nuts. But
nice.
They were asking me about, like when I wrote like those articles about giving up all those video games, like am I ever worried about just being too open to the internet? And I'm like, not really, because most of the time, or even on like this podcast, like most of the time, the only people that are ever going to like actually tell me how they feel are people that are like, oh yeah, that meant so much to me that you wrote that or that you said that, and you're like, you're thinking the same thing, or you're going through the same thing I'm doing. You know, it's just great to hear that I'm not the only person. And the other side are like the people who are like, oh man, like that's, I hope you kill yourself. And like, right. And for real, like if that person emails you or hits you up on Twitter, they automatically lose the right to have any effect on me if they don't use their real name and picture on their profile. And B, like you can take a look at their Twitter history. Like when that has happened to me, like I'll go look and it's just like, oh man, this guy just like tweets at everyone in the industry, like whether it be fitness or video games, and like just says like, oh, you're an idiot, or I bleeping hate you, and I hope, you know, you die, or you don't deserve the success or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well, so like the analogy is like, if I never use the F word. And then one day I'm with you, Roger, and like something crazy happens and I drop the F bomb. It's like, oh my God, like this, he's not messing around. Like something really bad happened or whatever. It has way more meaning. It just loses its meaning when you constantly are a, you know, fountain of hate. And to finish that thought, I always think, oh, well, it's okay, because like, I don't feel like I have to do that on the internet. So I'm in a way better place. Like at least I'm not doing what that person is doing. I'm in a better place. So I almost like kind of feel like apathetic. Like I feel bad for the person who is having to, like, they feel the need to send that stuff to me. Like, oh man, like they must be way worse off than I am, because I would never think to like tweet to someone telling them that they suck, or that they should kill themselves, or like, you don't look like a strength coach. Like, right. Sorry, dude.
Right. Dude, it's hilarious. The internet is hilarious. And the good thing about the internet is it gives people a voice, which is, you know, so many people feel starved of that. But then also the bad part is it gives people a voice, and some people's voice they shouldn't really have.
And
they
anonymity have it, too, you know, which is a double-edged sword, right? Because like we want to be able to not be spied on, but at the same time, like if you are saying, it's like the people that do tell you to, hey, you should go kill yourself, or hey, I'm going to come to your house and kill you or something like that. Like they shouldn't be able to be under, you know, I don't know, Dragon Ball Fan 54.
Right. Yes. Honestly, it's the anonymity. It just emboldens people, man. And I get it. It's nice to talk shit when no one can. It's like that. You remember Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Of course.
My favorite part of that movie was the end when that dude was talking all sorts of shit. And then they went to his house.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
all the comments. They're like, scrotum face 28. Is this what you said? And then they just whooped his ass. And I don't want to do that, but I get the appeal. It's like, hey, it's like if treat the internet like real life. And I think if people did that, the internet would be less fun, but it would be way more. It would be less fun, but it would be way more fun because talking shit. There's a fun appeal to it, but it's like if you're not going to say it in real life, don't say it on the internet. Like don't do it. What are you doing? Stop it.
Well, and I think we have it way better because I think the internet is a way worse environment for women today. You know, and I'm going to be talking to Jill Coleman. Like right after I talk to you, I'm going to go right into a call with her. And like it was funny. She like 3 days ago or something like that, she posted something on Twitter. It's like I just got called a MILF today on Facebook. And I don't have kids. Like, and that's like not even the super negative thing. It's like having to deal with all the, you know, sexism and, you know, people like calling out because if you post a picture of yourself and you don't look like the way that person thinks you should look, you're gonna get stuff. And I've gotten that stuff. But I know it's like a thousand time fold for women out there.
Yeah, I cannot relate to that at all as a dude. But I like just as dudes, I know we can be just creepy at sometimes and say dumb stuff, and the internet just gives those kinds of dudes more of a cloak of anonymity to just say whatever they want to say.
Yeah,
like no one's gonna walk up to Jill in real life and go, "You're a MILF."
Yeah,
I hope not. And if they do, well, you know, that's your life. But dude, it's rough out there for everybody, but it's especially rough for like smart and attractive women that are doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the conversation just gets derailed. Whatever intelligent conversation they're trying to have, when you take it to the internet, you bring some dumb people to the conversation that there should be an app that automatically censors what someone's about to say. And if it's not smart or related, it's just like, nope, that comment does not get through. Like YouTube comments. I'm like, what? Well, after
right,
I love. It's one of my favorite pastimes to just read YouTube comments.
No, that's such a how is that good for your energy, man?
Oh, I laugh because it's fodder. It's comedic fodder because within five comments is either racial, or about Hitler. Everything. I'm like, how did this get to? Or I'm just I'm laughing. Like one of my favorite. I love like YouTube video, like music videos, and then it's just funny to me. Like I go through the comments, and all of a sudden there's someone like posting about, hey man, nice video, check out my music, I'm a great rapper, blah blah blah, and I'm like, what? And then I click his name, and he's leaving that comment on every video. I'm like, dude, there's got to be a better way to get noticed, because I'm not gonna check out your video. It probably sucks. It might not, but it probably does. If this is how I'm finding out about you, through the comment section of something else, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a fun algorithm that people are trying to figure out on how to get noticed without being good enough to get noticed.
Is it the Kardashian effect? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I don't know if that's a real thing, but I love how she hacked the game, man. I honestly wish I could do that. I wish I could make a sex tape and step my game up. I want some next level.
But you have to make a sex tape with someone who's somewhat famous.
I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to, like Jennifer Lopez wants to make one or something like that. I'm ready, but it won't have the same. I think it doesn't go that way in reverse.
Right.
No dude has ever got famous from a sex tape.
No, like who's the guy that had sex with Paris Hilton? What's his name?
I don't even know.
Exactly.
But I do know Ray J. It did not help his career though, but it was funny. I was in I'm glad this is off topic. I was in Thailand a couple years ago.
I'll warn people to not let their kids listen to the off topic when we start recording the other segment.
Good. I was in Thailand with some friends, and we just put that on, and it was just hilarious. Just the sex tape. It was actually the trailer, but I was like, "What? This is real life, son. Hmm. This is Ray J. He's Brandy's. Yeah. He was on Moesha. What?
Oh, he was. Holy crap. God, Moesha.
Mo to the E to that dude. The 90s were so great. Everybody
that was Brandy, right?
Yeah, everybody had a TV show. Brandy.
Dude, hanging with Mr. DJ. Cooper was my show, man.
That me too. Mark Curry or Tim Curry?
Mark Curry.
Yeah. That show was underratedly hilarious.
That was a pretty good show. And he was like a former basketball player turned actor or something like that.
Dude, everybody got a show. Homeboys in Outer Space. The 90s were so good. Like for movies and TV shows, everybody got it. This was like before the crash. Now no one's getting stuff unless...
Well, they kind of went in waves because like in the early, like late 90s, like 99 to like maybe 2005, it was so much reality TV. But there's been such a resurgence thanks to like Netflix and HBO and AMC. Like there are some legitimately like high quality, not just like good because it's fun to watch, but like high quality, like, man, like this is basically, you know, 12 movies that they're putting together in a season. It's great.
Dude, I was just on a flight and I watched 20 hours of flying and I crushed so much TV. I watched a whole season of The Walking Dead. I watched Blackish. I watched Better Call Saul. I was like, oh, I've been missing out on all this TV. But it's so good because the quality of the writing is so good now that it trumps so many movies. Like the downfall of movies is you have to condense, you have to put together a story and cover these characters' backstories and this and that and have a plot.
Well, did you see the new Star Wars?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
yeah,
so we won't talk about anything that happens in it, but it's clearly like, man, that probably should have been 5 hours long.
Yeah, should have. I would have watched it.
Because it was very condensed. Like, man, you're just going from place to place to place. But it's still, like, probably the best movie I saw this year.
They went hard. It was good. Like, honestly, I have no real background for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. It's just a fun movie, though, right?
Yeah. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm sure I missed a bunch of fan moments because people were excited when certain things happened. And I'm like that. I'm like Borat. I'm looking around. I'm like, I should be excited. I don't know why, but I missed something.
I'll trust you when you say that.
Like there was so much going, like, I guess, yeah, some dude popped up or some dude said something and people were like, woo. And it went over my head because I didn't see the other movies. I saw the prequels. I didn't see the originals and I probably won't because, dude, it's just like video games. I can only go back so far. I'm not playing some RPG with sprite graphics anymore. I'm not going back that hard.
It's funny that you say that because I've been on in this weird turn of events. Like there's this podcast called the Player One Podcast, which I listened to when I was a like junior in college. So this is 2006, 2007-ish. And now I'm on that show pretty regularly, like all these years later. And I mentioned that, yeah, I don't like watch movies from before I was born. Like I just can't go back. And I got so much crap. Like, how could you, this kid's an idiot. Like everyone took me super seriously. He's like, all he likes is Fast and the Furious movies. He's a dumbass. Like, no, it's,
they're ready to fight you.
It's ready to kill you. Yeah. It's, you know, okay. You need to pay attention to the change of tone in my voice. So when I'm sarcastic, it's something that many humans do. And it's something that we've picked up in terms of communication over the last couple millennia. It's really great. Like it's awesome.
Oh, people are just looking for a reason to jump on people, man. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of like it because you control very easily. Like I could say something right now, jokingly between you and I, we both know I'm joking, but someone out there would listen. They spit their coffee at the screen and go, blah, 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 blah.
I'm drinking coffee. I don't want to spit coffee out on my laptop.
That's sacrilege, spitting coffee out. But we could rustle some jimmies right now and it would ruin somebody's day.
Well,
over a joke,
let's ruffle because this is something I don't like on the internet.
Yeah, let's ruffle.
People who are like, like obsessed with coffee, obsessed with bacon, obsessed with Quest bars to a certain extent. Like people that are like there's you know, just a culture of like, oh man, like I drink so much coffee and like I drink the best coffee. Like, you know, I cold press my coffee and it's just Dunkin' Donuts coffee I get from Target and it's really good. And I like coffee, but like I don't need to, it's not like my identity. I think it's just so weird when people make like, oh yeah, I have bacon every day. Like I'm all about bacon and, you know, putting butter in my coffee. Like Jesus Christ, guys, chill out. Like you obviously don't, like you just heard that on Joe Rogan's show and you just live it like it's the Bible or something.
You know, it's easy to go from 0 to 60 with stuff like people.
Yeah.
But the coffee game. I don't drink
like
coffee.
That bulletproof coffee thing. You know, like how quickly people bought into that stuff.
I watched it happen. I'm like, oh, people are putting butter in their coffee. Interesting. And then all of a sudden, everybody's putting butter in their coffee. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal, but whatever.
It only made sense in terms of like medium chain triglycerides from like extra virgin coconut oil. Like, yeah, there's going to be a case made for like maybe that is something that is going to help benefit your nutrition recovery and stuff like that. But it's not like people were, God, like people I worked with like were putting in like mounds of butter in their coffee every day and like saying it was like life changing. Come on, man. That's just, it's a quick buy-in. Like we got to be like, that was me in 2000, like 22, like T-Nation had a new supplement came out. I was like, this is the best thing ever. I need to go buy it. I don't have any money, but I'm going to figure out a way to buy this.
Dude, I was that same guy it's funny. I was so broke, but all my money was going to supplements
because totally.
It's great marketing. It's props to them. They got me. And I was like, good job. You earned that money because I don't spend it easily, but apparently then I did because you sold me on something.
Raj, you can't train unless you have surge to drink afterwards.
Yo, this is how funny the internet is, man. I remember when that first that hit the streets. It was like surge. You need straight up surge. Everybody's selling surge, and then there was the hype about the surge. It was some new formula or something. It was
what was it called?
It was a smaller tub, and it was just like this.
More expensive, smaller tub.
Smaller tub, more expensive. It's like, you thought you needed a surge? You definitely need this.
Shiny label.
And I'm like, I need that. It was like a pre-list. And I remember they had
what the hell is it called?
I don't even know. But I remember they had the T-Nation Physique Clinic. And when that happened, I was like, this is the best thing ever. I need to apply for this.
Right.
You get all the supplements.
Well, I think, and, you know, Mike Boyle gets a lot of junk like from people in the bodybuilding world or like the T-Nation crowd. And I think like one of the best things like he always says at his talks is like, why would you ever take advice from someone that is using steroids? Because it just does not make sense for you to use their program unless you're also on their same, supplement regimen of anabolics. Like it doesn't make sense. So it's really like, if you ever are thinking like taking advice of someone that has admitted or like pretty clearly you can look at him and like, man, that guy's using, like you need to think twice about following that program, at least take a closer look at it and don't do a complete buy-in, even if they know what they're doing, because they're using some kind of help that we will never be able to get naturally. It's impossible.
It's true, and I'm so out of the loop in terms of like steroids and this and that. I know it's a lot of people are using it in the sports world or whatever, but I think it's
just HGH, right?
I don't even know. I'm dumb when it comes to that. I don't know what people are using. I remember it was funny. Like people at some point thought I was doing steroids, and I laughed so hard.
I mean,
I wish if I was, I'm doing it wrong. If this is how
you're in good shape, but you're not big.
And it's, I'm like, is this what you like? Are you saying I'm using it to make yourself feel better about where you're at, or you actually think I do it?
Well, that's always what it is, yeah.
But dude, like, I was wondering. I'm like, man, dude, I'm like, that's a compliment. You think that what I'm working with now is?
Thank you.
Thank you. But oof, I don't get it, man. It's just a funny world, and it goes back to just people saying stuff on the internet. Mm-hmm. Like if you let it get to you, you could get your whole day ruined before noon, before 9 a.m. You just let the internet in, and I think that's just it's. It, you just we just need to develop a filter for the stuff we let in, the stuff we don't.
Right.
And you got to be ruthless about it, especially, and we can talk more about this in the main show too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to be ruthless about your filter, because there's so much stuff coming at you these days that if you're not, you just let some stupid shit in that will mess up your trajectory.
Totally.
When you don't need to. And it's just hilarious how that works.
Well, let's go record the main thing, because like I said, I got to talk to Jill in a little bit. So
shout out to Jill Coleman.
JC.
Yeah.
The other JC.
not the male JC. JC Dean, a.k.a. Nashville Sexy, a.k.a. my homie.
John Cena.
Yo, before we start the main show, I love those videos. That's one of the best things to come out of the internet, those what? John Cena videos. It's John Cena! I don't even watch wrestling, but I love it. Like, there was a Batman versus Superman trailer where he was Superman. Oh, I almost peed my pants. That it was sense. So good.
He's basically the Superman of WWE. They don't let him lose.
Good. I'm glad because I just love the. I keep making these videos. Just do it. Yes.
Well, that is going to do it for this agenda-free segment-ish thing for the Patreon folks. If you're listening to this, that means you're a badass, and that means you are also supporting the show. So thank you for continuing to support the show into 2016. I cannot do this show without the support of people like you listening right now, and that people that care enough to believe that the show is worth supporting the production of. So thank you so much. And we're going to record the meat and potatoes. You got to have the dessert. Well, I guess we have the dessert first, then we go eat our meat and potatoes. But I like meat and potatoes.
You better. Dessert first. That's my life principle, man.